I have to say that this podcast episode is going to put me on the map. Do you know why I say that?
Why is that?
Well, Pierre, the last time that we got together and I took a little photo of you standing in front of all of the Westwood brand signs.
Right.
I posted it on LinkedIn and you basically broke the internet. So you are beloved. Beloved.
Well, I think what happens is on LinkedIn, a photo really resonates because so much of LinkedIn is just text or articles or studies or whatever. And when there's a photo, it's like it stands out.
You know, I appreciate the humility, but I think it's you that stands out. I'm sticking with that.
I think
you broke the algorithm, Pierre Bouvard. This is so. Anyway, I just want to say, hey, it's EB Moss, and this is episode 4 of season 2 of Insider Interviews, where you're going to get the insider scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising, and in this case, all things audio research and insights from one of the best in the business, the very beloved Pierre Bouvard. Hello, Pierre.
EB, thank you for having me on. This is, you got quite a series going here, so the pressure's on to keep the momentum here.
You are the man for the job, and I'm so happy to have you here. We sort of worked together. Did we overlap at Cumulus Westwood One? Or
I don't think we did, but no. All your team overlapped,
and you absorbed my fabulous team from back in the day.
James and Lauren.
Yep.
Yeah, and in particular, Lauren Vetrano, who is now our VP of Advertiser Measurement and Audio Insights, is a gem.
Yes,
and
she
for
is.
Which nothing would happen in our organization without her leadership. So I am forever in your debt.
You know, they always say hire smarter than you. So I was very fortunate when Lauren came to join my team back in the day. And I'm glad that she is with you and you've continued to elevate good talent. We'll talk a little bit about leadership in this and your route to success with that also, Pierre. But right now, jazz hands, it's all about you. So I want to ask you from the get-go. When I joined what is now Cumulus Westwood One, it was actually Citadel, and then that was acquired by Cumulus, and Cumulus acquired Westwood One. What do you call it? How do we refer to it? And can you describe the overall company?
Sure. So Westwood One is America's largest radio network. It also has one of the leading podcast networks called the Cumulus Media Podcast Network, which is named after our parent company, Cumulus Media. They in turn own about 400 or so radio stations in 71 markets around the country. But Westwood is really the national advertising platform for big brands, national advertisers and agencies.
Got it. Let's continue on the path of definitions. And although I did work in that space, I'm going to ask you to sort of share some acronyms and definitions. So audio, radio, podcasting, what are the terms? Is it just all audio? How do you refer to that space?
So I think the best umbrella term is audio. The best kind of tracking study in the business on this is called Share of Ear. And it's basically an audio time use study. So underneath audio, you have things like satellite radio, Sirius XM, you have podcasts, you have streaming audio like Pandora and Spotify, and you have terrestrial, you know, AM, FM radio, but it all kind of nicely sits under audio.
Excellent. And I don't mean for you to pick your favorite media child, but you've been an evangelizer of radio for a long time. How do you feel about radio, streaming radio, podcasting? Do you have a drug of choice in the audio world?
Well, we play in all parts of it. So if you imagine a pie chart, And the pie chart is called American Ad-Supported Audio. So these are the places that marketers and brands can actually buy time. So the AM-FM slice is about a 73 share. So that is the big dog of ad-supported audio. Slice number two is podcasting. And that is fast growing, as we all know. And that's about 15% of the share of audio time spent. And then you have three players around a five share, ad-supported Spotify, ad-supported Pandora, and then ad-supported SiriusXM. So that's kind of the state of play, you know, as of Q4 2022, according to the latest Edison share of ear. Now, inside that AM-FM slice of 74, people often ask, well, how much of American radio listening is occurring through the stream? Historically, it was very small. Like 10 years ago, it might have been 5%. It's now 20%. So what's interesting is that ad-supported AM-FM streaming is actually bigger than ad-supported Pandora and Spotify combined.
Say that again.
If you just take AM-FM streaming, mm-hmm. that slice of time spent, it's actually bigger than ad-supported Pandora and Spotify.
Wow.
Which blows a lot of people away.
Yes.
Because they perceive radio as much smaller than it really is. Yep. And what we have done to kind of help the industry is we fielded perception studies with advertiser perceptions and asked national brands and agencies, what do you think the shares are? And then we show share of ear. And there's just a big disconnect between audio perception and reality.
And you've been evangelizing that as well, trying to blow up misconceptions for a long time. But let's come back to who you are, what you are, why you are so prolific and profound in this space, Pierre. Those were my three P's: prolific, profound, and Pierre.
Lord.
You had an extensive past in research and all areas of audio. You want to give us the top line?
Sure. So I started my career at Arbitron, which was the Nielsen of the audio business. And I had a path of sales and marketing. So I ended up running sales and marketing there. In between, I had a stint at Coleman Research, which is the leading kind of programming research consultant to the radio industry. I got to put hip hop stations on in New York and LA and be really hip. I took a stint in TV with TiVo Research and Analytics, where we were matching set-top data to purchase data. And I've been at Westwood as the chief insights officer for about 7 years or so.
Excellent. All right. So you are verified, as you might say. All right, so let us do talk about some of those misperceptions. I love when you blow up things. In my season two opener, I spoke with former radio DJ back in the 70s, then known as Lee Masters, who went on to become CEO of NPR. Anyway, he talked about how the number one station in the Atlanta market is an AM station.
Yeah, a news talk information station that's very relevant to Atlanta, WSB.
And do we think that AM in general still has viability? Is that emblematic of other leading market stations, or is it a one-off?
So about 90% of American radio listening is FM, about 10% is AM. The stations that excel are big service providers, all news, news and information, and a lot of big, medium, and small markets. You know, when the light goes out and there's no power, people are sitting in their cars and they're listening to those news and information stations. Those stations persist, you know, and continue to do well. Now, some of them are simulcasting on FM because they realize that, you know, there's this mall over here called FM where 90% of the customers are. So it's probably prudent to be in both places with your content.
I'm going to jump a little bit around, but understanding how radio, streaming audio, is measured these days has come under some scrutiny. What's happening in the measurement space? Is there a gold standard now? How are things shifting around?
Yeah, so a number of developments. First of all, Triton Digital is kind of the ad tech platform for American streaming audio, and they have been in the space for a couple of decades and are really, I think, the coin of the realm. Despite that, Nielsen recently enhanced its streaming measurement, where they made an adjustment to their headphone methodology, and that caused a big uptick in the share of time spent on streaming. And then podcasting has its share of measurement providers. A lot of them are measuring downloads, and agencies naturally think, well, that's not a listen. That's just the show is somewhere here on the phone. But recently, Edison has kind of burst onto the scene with its podcast metrics study, which was recently endorsed by Nielsen. And Nielsen is now actually marketing this to the advertiser agency community. So I think with Edison coming into the podcast measurement space with actual listening and measuring all platforms, you know, YouTube, Spotify, et cetera, I think at last we kind of have credible measurement for terrestrial, for streaming, and now for podcasting with Edison.
Excellent. And I know that folks like Signal Hill Insights are getting into that game too. Do you think we're going to have measurement wars in the podcast space, or there's still, I'll repeat that name, the gold standard?
Well, I think when Nielsen selected Edison as kind of their planning tools, both for share of ear and for their podcast metrics, I mean, that's as close to a gold standard, I think, when Nielsen does that as you can get. But remember, these are planning tools. You know, it's kind of like ComScore. They're not necessarily what I would say is currency, because the currency is really the impressions that are served. And did we deliver those impressions, et cetera. But I think the planning tools have gotten a lot better. And I think if there's an advertiser out there watching this saying, well, I'll consider podcasting if and when they get their measurement act together. The headline is the measurement is there. So you jump into the pool, you can now have confidence that there's, you know, very strong planning tools with Edison, Share of Ear, and Podcast Metrics.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I think that the measurement of insider interviews might be not too challenging, but one can dream. Now that Pierre Bouvard is my guest, I expect miracles in my listens and downloads. Now, it's true, though, that brands have avoided some podcasting because of measurement. But what are the things that we can look at with efficacy around podcasting? Certainly, engagement is key. What are some of the softer metrics?
So a couple of things. First of all, for marketers out there, podcasting is under-commercialized. And what I mean by that is only 5% of the average podcast has ads. So your ads stand out. You know, typical hour TV, 15%, 20% ads. So the ads really stand out. Number two is podcasting was built by direct response brands. Mm-hmm. They tell us they have never seen a medium be able to sell products and services like podcasting. So you can look at that and say, if these DR folks continue to pay these pretty pricey $25 CPMs, they are making money for their clients. And so this medium has significant sales effect. I think the other thing is, you touched on it, it's immersive. Attentiveness studies show that you are leaning in when you have spoken word. It's personal. It's, I selected this podcast. It wasn't just playing in the room and I happened to come into the room. There was an IAB study a couple of years ago that looked at concentration, like how much are you paying attention? And podcasting was number one. It crushed social. It crushed many other media forms. So there's incredible attentiveness. And then last and not least, you have voice reads from talent.
Yeah.
That it, this is the same person that I respect who's now seamlessly integrating a brand in. I'm going to pay attention to that. It's like a friend making a recommendation. So you've got low commercial environment, high attentiveness, high concentration, very personal. You know, there's a media director, a very famous media director from BBDO named Arnie Semsky. Uh-huh. And at the dawn of cable in the 90s, clients were like doing these little teeny test buys with cable. And he said, enough is enough. And he invented something called the 5% rule. And he said to all his clients, put 5% of your TV budget into this new thing called cable. This is like 30 years ago. And his point was, stop the test and learn. We know it works. Make it a significant and substantive line, you know, in your media plan. And I think Arnie would say today that you should put 5% of your digital ad budget into podcasting. The audience is there. The reach is there. It's time. In fourth quarter, there were like, I don't know, 17,000 new advertisers in podcast, according to Magellan. Mm-hmm. They spent an average of $24,000, which is like spray and pray.
Right.
You know, it's time, put 5% of your digital, you know, budget into podcast.
Put your big person podcast pants on.
Yes, yes. Step up to the plate.
That's right.
The measurement has been solved. The reach is there. The scale is there.
Yes. All right. Now, these were always fascinating to me. Brand lift studies, the impact of, you know, not just a holistic or omnichannel approach, but the actual impact of adding one medium to your buy that sort of raises all boats. Can you talk about those kinds of studies, brand lift, sales effect, et cetera?
Sure. So the Advertising Research Foundation did a major study in 2016, how advertising works. And they conclusively proved that the more media that's in your plan drives up ROI. And the World Advertising Research Center recently found the same thing. So even at the same budget, adding media definitely drives up impact. So you can measure sales effect in radio by matching Nielsen meters to credit card or consumer packaged goods, grocer shopper card data. Nielsen has done that dozens and dozens of times. So you can say, here are the people that were actually exposed to the radio campaign. Here are the people that were not exposed. And then let's look at the lift in sales directly attributable to the radio campaign. For brand lift, for digital audio, there are companies like Upwave, where you can pixel the ad and the ad server for streaming or for podcast. And same thing, what was the brand equity among those that were exposed? What's the brand equity among those unexposed? And what's the lift? Lastly, you can prove site and search attribution. You know, did the radio ad drive traffic to the website? Did the streaming ad or did the podcast ad drive traffic to the website? So brands can have confidence that basically all of the measurement that you're accustomed to in video, in digital, can be executed in audio. So audio, yes, your audio campaign can be measured.
There is a big component of the impact of those ads when it comes down to good creative. You know, we talk about TV having sight, sound, and motion. Is there still a perception that TV is more impactful, more effective? What are we seeing there?
So if there's a brand that has a visual component, you know, quick service restaurant with a sizzling burger, shampoo, hair care, automotive, there definitely is a lingering perception that sight, sound, and motion trumps audio only. And like many narratives in advertising, people kind of nod their head because it sounds vaguely correct and nobody actually looks at the facts. And so recently, one of the leading creative testing companies, ABX, launched a major study. They looked at literally 40,000 ads across video, digital, audio, et cetera. And what they looked at was 10,000 TV ads and about 2,700 radio ads. And what they found across all these categories is that audio ads perform at 92% of the effectiveness of a TV ad at 1/4 the CPM.
Really?
So basically you're getting just about the same creative effectiveness at a much cheaper CPM. So again, these are narratives that have been in the industry that nobody ever like actually studied. So the data is coming in. Now, Nielsen has also studied this phenomenon called eyes on glass, which is, okay, you have your beautiful visual TV ad. When TV ads come on, what percent of the time are people actually have eyes on glass? And Nielsen found that 39% of the time when the ad comes on, people are eyes on glass. So sight, sound, and motion, hurrah. But 40% of the time when the ad comes on, people's eyes are looking at this. So 40% of the time your TV ad is a radio ad. The other 20% of the time your TV ads are playing to an empty room. So the reality is sight, sound, and motion is rarely achieved in TV, only about 40% of the time. And just as often, your TV ad is a radio ad that people hear, but they don't see.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I am fond of talking about two things. One is the theater of the mind, which we always described radio, audio, podcasting mm-hmm. as delivering. Even audio books, you know, you want to hear, you want to envision what the character looks like in your own mind, etc. So the other part is that I'm always listening to audio when I'm washing the dishes or walking New York City streets or what have you. And as Bette Midler would say, I said walk in the streets, not work in the streets. Anyway, I digress. But think about that visual of Bette Midler now, right?
And there was an actual neuroscience study that was conducted directly to this point. So half of folks were exposed to the Game of Thrones TV show. Mm-hmm. The other half were exposed to the Game of Thrones audiobook. And they had sensors placed on their palms to measure sweat, to measure heart rate. These are all unconscious signs of engagement. How much are you concentrating? How engaged in the story you are? And decisively, the audiobook for Game of Thrones had much more concentration and engagement than the TV show. Mm. And why is that? In the TV show, everything is in front of you. Nothing is left to the imagination. So you don't actually have to imagine the dragon or imagine the visual of what's happening. And so it's for that reason that actually visuals, and what ABX found is that 48% of the time, the scores for radio effectiveness are greater than TV. That half the time, radio ads actually outperform TV for this very point, that a good audio ad engages the consumer and they imagine what's happening, and that leads to greater concentration.
You know, for those who are listening to this podcast as opposed to, I also share now the YouTube version of it. If you're not watching it, Pierre has a foot-long red beard. It's amazing, and it's braided. Or not. Okay. But back to the power of sound. You know, our friend Steve Keller over at SiriusXM is famous for creating sonic brands, sonic logos. Let's talk about best practices for the use of sound. I know you've touched a lot of different areas, Pierre, so even though you're the insights guy, I know that you have opinions on creative.
No question. Well, the first thing that everyone in media kind of overlooks is that creative trumps media. A major Nielsen study conducted by Leslie Wood, 500 brands, found that nearly 50% of sales effect is due to the creative. About a third is due to media. So we can talk about targeting and all sorts of stuff like that, but the creative really is what drives sales effect. So Therefore, it's critical to pretest your audio. And one of the leading creative testing companies, Veritonic, has done a lot of work around creative effectiveness of sonic brands and sonic logos or audio logos. And they basically have developed two very simple best practices. And the first one is say the name of the brand in the audio logo. You know, if you think about most visual logos for a company have the name of the brand. You know, it says who they are. It's not just some logo. There's actually the name. Their data says that if your name is actually in your audio logo, you get 7 times correct brand association. Now, as simple as that sounds, there are a lot of audio logos out there. Now, everyone talks about, oh, Intel, right? Oh, that's such a great audio logo. When Veritonic played that Intel audio series of notes to people, only 13% of Americans correctly associated that to Intel, which, considering the billions of dollars and decades that that thing has been exposed, it shows you that that was marketing malpractice, the fact that they didn't have their name in the audio logo. Great examples, Liberty Mutual. Not only do they say their name, but they sing it 4 times. O'Reilly, Auto Parts, you know, Nationwide is on your side. So best practice number one, say your brand. Best practice number two, melody. Melodies can be rememberable, right? So when back in the day, when somebody was trying to figure out how do I teach kids the ABCs, they took one of the most familiar melodies, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and just basically took the alphabet and set it to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, because kids knew the song, they knew the melody, and this helped them learn. So best practice number one, say your name. Number two, have melody.
I am mortified that as a grown-ass woman, up until this moment, I've never equated Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star with A, B, C, D, E.
There you go.
Pierre, I'm always learning from you, even if I embarrass myself. Thank you. Now, this actually leads to another aspect of things. You know, there were also some studies about the disproportional amount of female listeners versus female hosts, especially in podcasting. I'd love to get your take on how we're doing with diversity in audio. And our Amazon device, you know, historically was only a female voice, and that got a lot of pushback. Now there's flexibility. But is there anything to the sentiment that a male voice is more commanding and drives sales versus female? And how do we find more balance in diverse voices in audio?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of what we do in advertising, we do because that's what we've always done. Like, why are 75% of audio commercial voiceovers men? I don't know. It's what we've always done. We have to break ourselves of this kind of legacy of just doing what we've always done. A major study was conducted by Jim Spaeth and Alice Sylvester, who are some of the leading gurus on marketing effectiveness. And they looked at hundreds of audio ads. And what they found is that women prefer a female voiceover. And those female voiceovers test among men just as well as a male voiceover. So therefore, if your product or service is somehow geared in any way to women, there is a strong possibility that if you switch to a female, your creative effectiveness is going to go up. There's another audio creative best practices, which is changing the voices in the ad, having a male and a female go back and forth, actually boost engagement. So there's a lot of neuro that when you hear a different voice, it kind of like perks you up a little bit. When you look at podcasting and you look at who are the fastest growing groups, you know, with podcast audience, African-American and Hispanic are surging. You know, podcasting kind of started off pretty non-ethnic 10 years ago as kind of an NPR thing. But now with YouTube and Spotify being the two main portals into podcasting, it's a younger audience and it's very diverse.
Excellent. That leads me to the question that I have been committed to asking each of my guests in season two is, how would you define brand purpose? And do you think that brand purpose can be communicated via audio?
So I'm going to take a decidedly old school definition of brand purpose, which is, does the product do what it says it should do? Meaning, if this is a headache remedy, does it make my headache go away? Not cure the earth, but does it make my headache go away? That is, at the end of the day, that is the purpose, is does your product and service fulfill the actual needs that consumers have about that particular product and service? A lot of times we will, in the industry, create these brand purpose campaigns and they do the consumer research. They have no awareness of these campaigns and they don't think very hard about the advertising message. They think, does this product and service do what it's supposed to do? So that's a very kind of pragmatic definition of brand purpose. And yes, you know, based upon all the ABX testing, you know, you can effectively market what your product is and what it does and why it can solve a need effectively with audio.
Beautifully put. Thank you for that POV, Pierre. So I want to ask one more question. So all of the buzz out there about the erosion of share of mind, et cetera, how can radio make TV better, or how can TV make radio better? How do all boats rise? I'll use that phrase again to help your ad buy.
It is, you know, the foundation of linear TV for many years was network cable. That's where 3/4 of the impressions and the GRPs are. It wasn't too long ago, 2009, 90% of Americans had cable, had pay TV. We are now at the last reading at about 48%. So half of Americans will never see your network cable ad. So where can a marketer kind of supplement and complement the lost reach of TV? Certainly connected TV is an option. It's super expensive on a CPM basis, so it'll give you some incremental reach. It'll give you modest amounts of incremental reach, but you're going to pay for it. Adding more digital and social into the plan sometimes actually causes reach to go down. So the surprising answer to how do I replace lost TV reach is radio. If you sit down in front of Nielsen Media Impact, which is their optimization and planning tool, and you just run some scenarios and say, okay, what if I took 20% of my linear TV buy and shifted it into radio? You will be astounded at the reach growth. And what you'll see is the reach growth will occur among light TV viewers. So you can't solve your light TV viewer problem by buying more TV. Radio can come to the rescue there. The other thing you'll see when you put radio into the media plan is that as you get younger, the reach goes up. So for any brand, putting radio in the plan will not add a lot of folks over the age of 65, but as you get younger, the reach growth will grow and grow and grow. And so a lot of pharma brands, a lot of CPG brands are kind of rediscovering radio as a way to make their TV better.
You have famously busted some myths about the uptake of listenership or the use of radio by certain demos and amount of time spent listening. Can you wow us with some actual stats about radio and then audio in general one more time?
So the gentleman that runs Deloitte's media and telecom practice, Duncan Stewart, famously predicted 4 years ago that AM/FM radio would surpass linear TV by the year 2025 in 18 to 34 rating. He was wrong. It happened last year.
Okay.
So AM/FM radio is now beating, as of last year, linear TV 18 to 34. The big kind of head snapper this year is that when you open up Nielsen's total audience report, which looks at weekly reach and time spent across all media, is that for the first time in media history, first time ever, AM/FM is now beating linear TV in average rating or average audience. That has never happened. And I think that is something that gives pause to marketers to say, why not put radio into that plan? Because the GRPs are there and the reach is absolutely there by the carload.
I can't think of a better high note to end things on. That was so helpful, so informative. You have all of these facts at your fingertips, Pierre. I would love to have a Vulcan mind meld with you. So thank you for taking the time. I will
welcome.
Also make note that I am available for female voiceovers, here to help. And Pierre is available. You know, you have a tremendous blog, I have to say. I would really encourage everyone to read the blog available. Pierre, what's the URL for it?
Sure. So it's Westwood One, which is WESTWOODONE.com. And there's that little hamburger thing. And look for the Audio Active blog. And we publish a new audio case study every week. And you can also, while you're there, sign up to get the weekly audio case study sent directly to your email box.
I highly recommend it. Pierre is a font of knowledge with his sidekick, Lauren Vetrano. For more of those insights, you got the visual description of it. Go to the little hamburger on westwoodone.com and do the try. That's perfect. Spoken like a true audio fan. Pierre Bouvard, thank you so much for joining me here on Insider Interviews. It's great to see you again and talk to you.
EB, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, EB Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.